Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We're here live to answer your questions or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. If there is something you'd like to talk about, we'd like to discuss it with you, so call now, 1-800-677-9377. Because the Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. You'll see how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about grace and money, and before we can really dig deep into that subject, I think we have to step back a little bit and talk about worship, because whatever we worship in life will ultimately control us. And a lot of times we find ourselves, especially in this age of consumerism and, you know, all of the gadgets and things that are out there, it's buy, 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 buy. And we feel like, you know, we have to have those things to be happy. And so we need money to make those purchases. And so a lot of times we end up, you know, worshiping money. Our hearts are devoted to money, the making of money, the spending of money, the saving of money, all of those sort of things. And pretty soon we find ourselves being controlled by money. Well, that was never God's intent for us to be controlled by money, but somehow that happens. So we need to go back to this attitude of worship and to make sure that our hearts are inclined toward the Lord. One of my favorite verses, Richard, I know it's one of your favorite verses as well. It says this, Romans 12:1-2. Again, it's Romans 12:1-2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So Paul has spent 12 or 11 chapters talking about the grace of God, how we have been freely justified by his grace, how we have been raised to walk in the newness of life by his grace. All of these things are by God's grace, this salvation that we have, this right standing with God that we have, this peace with God that we have. And as a matter of fact, Paul says grace is where we now stand. We've gained access to it through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's where we now stand. So grace is everything, and in light of this grace and in light of this mercy that God has given to us, he encourages us to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, and then he defines that as our spiritual act of worship. I mean, that's reasonable. That's an internal thing, a heart that's inclined and devoted to and dependent upon Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world. Certainly the world has an attitude toward money that is different from God's. And so we can either be conformed to what the world has to say about money, or in offering ourselves to Jesus, we can be conformed to his way of thinking as it revolves around money. So do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that relates to every area of life, money being one of those areas of life. So worship is vitally important for each and every one of us to understand, especially what worship means in this new covenant that we live in. And it's an offering of your body, making yourself available to the Lord Jesus Christ to be used by him. And in that offering, your mind begins to be renewed, and you can test and prove what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will for you.
Absolutely. This is Basic Gospel, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. Want to hear from you right now. Love for you to join the conversation at 1-800-677-9377. A toll-free call wherever you hear the broadcast, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk to our friend Louise listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Louise.
Hi, how are you? God bless.
And to you.
I wanted to ask you a question. What does it mean when it's one of the Beatitudes, I think they call it, attributes? What does it mean when they say, blessed are the poor in spirit.
I think it's talking about the attitude of humility there, Louise. In this world, we see a lot of pride. We see a lot of ego out there.
Yes.
And, you know, folks think more highly of themselves than they ought. But I think when we face truth, when we face truth of who God is, when we face the truth of who we are in light of who he is, we become poor in spirit. There's no pride there. There's no ego there. And so I think that's what Jesus was getting at. And when we have that spirit of humility, we're in a position of receiving what God has provided for us in Christ Jesus. Some of the other writers, this is an Old Testament passage, but it's quoted in the New Testament as well. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And I think this verse is talking about that.
Okay, I just didn't quite understand, you know, what it meant.
Yeah, so
okay.
I just think it means a humble heart, a humble spirit.
Okay.
Yeah, very similar to what we were just talking about in Romans 12, 1 and 2. This is the person who gives themselves to Jesus to be used as he sees fit.
So when you were saying you just tell Jesus, take me and use me any way you want, is that what... Which you basically say?
That's the attitude, and we're free to do that. We're compelled to do that because of the great love that he has for us. We know that he loves us. We know that he has has our best interests at heart, that he's for us, not against us. So in light of all of that truth, in light of all of that love that he's poured out on us, we can give ourselves to him freely, willingly, knowing that he is going to use us, and that's going to be the most rewarding thing that we can experience in life.
Okay. Thank you very much, and God bless you.
Well, thank you, Louise. So nice to hear from you.
Likewise. Time on the clock, as I said, plenty of open lines, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Manhattan and talk with Peter listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. Nice to hear from you today.
Yes, I have a question. Before Christ came, all the people, you know, who passed, who died, what happens to them in the second coming?
Well, like Abraham and David and Moses and those folks?
Right, right. In other words, they didn't know Christ, right? Like even human beings. You know what I mean? All the other human, you know, who didn't know. Will they be saved? Will they be judged as righteous? I mean, am I making sense? Well,
Peter, here's the deal. I mean, Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 4, and he brings up Abraham and David, and he's making a case for righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ, that we cannot earn a right standing before God. It has to be given to us by Christ himself. And so he uses Abraham as an example. He says that Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. So that belief in God's promise about the coming Messiah credited to his account a righteous standing before God. And so when Abraham died, he went to kind of the upper regions of Hades. It was a holding place for those saints of old. When Jesus finished his work on the cross, that victory was expressed to those saints of old, and they were taken out of that holding place, what we would call paradise, and they entered into the very presence of Christ, just as we would today when we die. When we're absent from the body, we're going to be present with the Lord. The writer of Hebrews gives a wonderful, wonderful take on this as well. Hebrews chapter 11, he's talking about those saints of old. And he's talking about how each and every one was commended for their faith, not for, you know, anything other than they believed God, and that belief in God spurred them on to action in his account or on his regard. And so there at the end of chapter 11, he says this: these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And that what had been promised was the Holy Spirit. And he said God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Once
now,
the finished work
done. Before Christ, some people weren't able to, they didn't have the Old Testament, right? You know what I'm saying?
They didn't.
Like Christ said, spread to all nations, he said, you know, speak to all, you know, this is the building of the church. But before, I mean, wasn't it just isolated, the Old Testament?
Well, there was a knowledge of God in the world. There always has been a knowledge of God that's been in the world. And certainly Israel was kind of the right in the heart and soul of all of civilization. They were looked at and studied and analyzed by other nations. And like Egypt, they knew that there was something different about the people of Israel, and what they knew was different was the presence of the one true God. And they understood that the God of Israel was more powerful than anything that they worshiped. And if they didn't understand that, God made that known to them. And so,
so the people who didn't know Israel, though, that's my point. So, you know what I'm saying? They should have known that there's a God.
And
you get what I'm saying?
There had to be other nations
that, you know, I mean, like, it sounds super, like Christopher Columbus didn't, you know that there was Indians. Or, you know what I mean?
Well, Peter, God is big enough to make himself known. He has made himself known since the very beginning of time. He's made himself known, and he has reached into every single corner, every nook and cranny in this world to make himself known to the whosoever wills. And we can just count on that. And so we know that just as our salvation, that's exactly right, just as our salvation was dependent upon his initiative, him reaching down to us, and we know that he did that. We know we can count on the fact that he's done that to every people group in the world.
Right. He's an understanding and loving God.
Yes, indeed. Well, Peter, thanks for your call today. We sure appreciate it.
All right, have a good day.
Hey, you too, my friend.
1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. We want to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377.
And we certainly want to let our listeners know of our special offer this month, a two-CD series called Grace and Money. And it comes with a booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. And it's really a comprehensive look on the subject of how grace should shape and mold our thinking toward money and how to use money. And I think it's a powerful, powerful treatment of the subject. And we want to put that in your hands, and it's available for a gift of any amount this month to Basic Gospel.
Absolutely. And you can find a donate link at basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk with Hazel listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Hazel.
Hi, how are y'all?
Doing wonderful.
I appreciate the program so very much. I have been very enlightened.
Great.
But what is troubling me is that there's so much reference to Jesus Christ, but somehow God, his Father, is never mentioned. Is rarely ever mentioned. I wouldn't say never. Is rarely ever mentioned. And that's quite troubling to me, because he do have a father. His father sent him. And there is little reference to his father or his father's name.
As in just God the Father? You mean that?
Well, Jesus Christ has a father. As a matter of fact, he prayed to his father on many, many occasions. As a matter of fact, he says, no one comes to the Father, his Father, except through me. And in the Lord's Prayer, he states very clearly, when you pray then this way, our Father who is in the heaven, hallowed be thy name. So give praise to his name. His Father do have a name. It's pretty much like you have a Father, and your father was sent to you on a mission. And somehow all the credit is being given to you, and his father is rarely being acknowledged.
Well, Hazel, I appreciate your comments, and I appreciate your concerns there. I really do. What we see in the New Testament, God sent Jesus. The Word of God is really God's testimony about His Son. We were just studying this today at lunch about the Transfiguration, how Jesus took Peter and James and John up on the mount with Him, and Jesus was transfigured right before their very eyes, and then this voice from heaven, a cloud, appeared, the presence of God the Father, and this voice from that cloud said, "This is My Son, whom I am well pleased, listen to Him." So God the Father Himself directs us to Jesus Christ the Son, because it's through the Son that we are saved. It is through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection that we are saved. When the angels made their announcement to the shepherds, when the angel made his announcement to the shepherd, he said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." So Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. And that's why you may be hearing an overemphasis. Would you please listen, Hazel? I'm trying to tell you what the Bible is talking about. And so that's why you're hearing this emphasis upon Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ, when we grow in our relationship with Him, we're getting to know the Father. That's what eternal life is. Jesus Christ gave us eternal life, and then He defined for us what this eternal life is. "Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So Jesus Christ becomes the Savior of our souls, and then through Him, He becomes the very person that enables us to know God as our Heavenly Father. And so we talk about Jesus, but when we do talk about Jesus, it's to ultimately direct us back to God the Father. It's only in Jesus Christ that we know anything about God the Father that is true and genuine and honest. And so when we know Jesus, we know God the Father as well. And this verse in John 17:3, it's my favorite verse in the Bible. If I had to pick one, that would be my favorite verse. And the reason it's my favorite verse is because through Jesus Christ, I get to know the one true God. I get to know Him as my Father. I get to know the love that He has for me. And that is life-changing. So Hazel, I think your comments are outstanding, and I appreciate you making those comments on today's broadcast and allowing us, giving us the opportunity to talk about this great verse in John 17, Jesus' prayer. Why did Jesus come? To make the Father known to us. And that's what He does in our hearts and our lives each and every day. So God bless you for picking up the phone and calling. Thank you.
Thanks, Hazel. Plenty of open lines and time remaining on the clock. 1-800-677-9377. Guys, had a question, an interesting question from Warren, who writes to us from Brisbane in Queensland, Australia. Says, as I understand it, people who come to Jesus for life are saved. Those who don't come to Jesus for life are not saved or lost. I realize that this is probably an oversimplification, but it seems to me that there are a lot of churches, at least here in Australia, who claim to be Christian. They acknowledge the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the waters get very muddied and the message is unclear. They seem to mix law and grace. Some seem to have a strong focus on water baptism as essential for salvation. They focus a lot on mission work and outreach and what they're doing for God. For example, they promote the idea that sponsoring 30 children out of poverty is the working of the gospel. In short, their teaching seems to be a lot of smoke and mirrors and not much solid meat. These churches, pastors, and congregations seem to focus on what they are doing for God rather than focusing on the Jesus who lives within and living from what Jesus initiates. It seems like both the pastors and congregations struggle to explain the gospel in any sort of clear and meaningful way. It's almost like the blind are leading the blind. So my question is, are the people who are in this middle ground, in this gray, confused area, are they lost, are they saved, or they're somewhere else?
Well, we don't know that. I mean, we can't really make a statement based on an email. What we do know is this, that the gospel is Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the gospel that saves. That's the gospel on which we take our stand. If we add anything to that, then we're actually taking away from the gospel. So if we say water baptism is essential for salvation, so now we've added something else to the gospel. It's Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and it's our water baptism that saves us. Well, that's not the gospel. Never was the gospel, never has been the gospel, never will be the gospel. It is merely Jesus. And John really, I think, draws a line. He just puts it in very plain black and white language. And he says this in verse 11 of 1 John chapter 5, and this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Where is eternal life? It's found in Jesus Christ. And he says, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So that's the question you have to ask. As a person, do you have Jesus or do you not have Jesus?
Right.
Because if you have Jesus, you have everlasting life. You may be doing all kinds of wonderful good things, and you may be doing all kinds of great stuff, but if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life.
Right.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
And in the gospel, that's what you get, is Jesus. And when you get Jesus, you get life.
That's basic gospel.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Well, let's quickly go to Yvonne in Englewood, New Jersey. Hi, Yvonne.
Hi, and actually, I'm out of state. I'm visiting here, but I really enjoyed you guys' program. I do have a question I've been sharing with a relative. Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart, see if there be, try me, and see if there, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. I continue to get the sense that they're saying, that's all I have to do, and it's done. I'm asking God to search me, but I was trying to share how we have a responsibility to search the scriptures. So as we search the scriptures, we're going to see things in our lives that's going to let us know what we have to change, where we're going right, where we're going wrong.
Well, Yvonne, not only do we search the scriptures, but as believers in Christ, we have God's Spirit living inside of us. And so the light of who he is shines brightly on our attitudes, shines brightly on our actions, and we can see the truth of that. And that's when we can offer ourselves to the Lord and say, hey, I'm available to you to transform me by the renewing of my mind, so that I can experience all that you have for me in Christ Jesus. So,
what if you're not in the Word? They don't really read it. They used to a long time ago, but we're not really reading. And some of our beliefs are based on what we've been told from parents.
Well, I think you're right, Yvonne. We need to be in the Word of God. I think that's a clear directive. It's important for us to read the Bible. And it's the most exciting book that we can read. It tells us all about the love of Christ. So I think it's one of the
best-selling book, too, so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Yvonne, thank you so much for your call.
Thank
you hold
so
on, and we'll give you some more information about our ministry. You hang on.
Absolutely. I want to remind you also as we close that Bob Christopher has a new 2-CD message called Grace and Money. It's a great exploration of that particular subject. You can get a copy anytime you make a donation to the Ministry of Basic Gospel, and you can do that by going online to basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with our operator during Central Time office hours at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828 for your copy of Grace and Money by Bob Christopher for a gift of any amount. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time for another edition live, and we hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.